All right.
Boy, it don't seem like 2 years, does it? Well, maybe it does. All right. This morning I want to give you some ammunition to combat a enemy that Satan seems to keep pushing us and pushing in our face. And for 1,000 years, he's never tried to stop. He's always been trying to stop us from telling others about Jesus Christ. This month in 2013 here in June is Be Real in Our Soul Winning. And there are a lot of things that are going on in our Christian life that people just, we get so busy doing certain things, but we just don't do, we do a lot of good things, but many times we don't do the best thing. And the best thing, of course, Scripture teaches us in Matthew there, 28, where it says that it would go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he's talking about us. He's not talking about just these 11 disciples now. He's talking about all of us. And you'll never be so happy in your life when you're able to win somebody to Jesus Christ. And so Satan has, in the last, these 1,000 years, tried to stop the efforts of born-again believers telling people about the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, and that we can have our sins forgiven, be born again, have our name written in the book of life, that's for eternity, and have a home waiting for us. Jesus said, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Those are the things that we're really looking for. I don't know about you, but I'm sure looking for heaven. And I know that one of these days we're going to be able to sit down. And we're going to relax, amen. Sit down and just to be able to take a breath, amen. As a born again believer, soul winning is our standard. It's the thing that differentiates us from anything else, and it's telling people about Jesus Christ. It's our business. It's our in Christendom. It's our call. It's our duty. Unfortunately, false doctrine and teaching have slipped in unnoticed, and this practice has gone on in a local church for a long time, and it needs to be, it's gone on unchecked, it's gone unchallenged many centuries in Christendom. And that is the teaching that there's people tell you that this lordship salvation is the only way you can get saved. You've got to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord before you can get saved. And there's nothing farther from the truth. We continue to make the Lord our Lord, but as long as we're in this old clay of ours, he is not going to be completely Lord. You understand that? And for a person to become saved, he has to be Lord of your life first. That's the most idiotic thing that you can believe. And we as Christians understand that. Amen? We understand it's impossible. False teaching must be exposed in definite attempt of Satan to stop Bible-believing, soul-winning churches to doing their work for God. God's ordained his believers to do. And Jesus gave this charge to the believers at the moment that he, just moments before he ascended into heaven. And he said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. And of course, that's teaching them that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave, and is to heaven today, and if you invite him to come into your heart, forgive your sins, he'll forgive your sins and he'll come into your life. One of the enemies of soul winning is lordship salvation, and you say, well, what is lordship salvation? Well, you may have never heard it. Well, I want you to listen very carefully, because many preachers are preaching it today. Many churches stand by it today. In order for a person to be saved, he must make Jesus Christ Lord of his life. And my friend, if that teaching and doctrine is true, no one could be saved as long as we are limited to this old earthly body, this fleshly body of ours. We are unable to make Jesus totally the Lord of our lives. There is no way you can do that. I mean, Scripture teaches the true lordship can happen only For we are like him. I am becoming like him. And Paul the Apostle talks about that, how that we are being converted back in the. Can we have that door shut or something? That's awful. That is loud even for me. As a Christian, we have a great responsibility to the Lord. And this great responsibility of the Lord is that we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are being converted. You're not what you were yesterday. You're not what you were 10 years ago. I hope you weren't. If you're a person that just set to Christ as your personal Savior, we call you a babe in Christ. You're learning. You're taking baby steps. You're learning about this, and you're learning about this, and you're learning about this. There's so many different people in our church. Some just got saved. Like Amber here. She just got saved 2 weeks ago at my house. And Brother Adam Price got saved, about a year ago? Was it a year ago? December? Okay. So 5 months, he got saved at my house. Keep him up, come to my house, or you get saved, amen. And, you know, some people have been saved 100 years, almost, you know. I was saved back in 1962, and accepted Christ as my personal Savior. So all of us are in this growing process, may I say. And for you to tell me and preachers that are out there preaching this doctrine, it's a false doctrine, it's heresy, saying that you've got to be, the Lord has got to be the Lord of your life, that's totally impossible. I am different today where I was back in 62 when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There's been some growing processes in my life. Paul, the writer of Hebrews said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, that's Romans. Faith cometh by hearing but he talked about faith in Hebrews. There it talks about faith, that our faith, things that we have not seen, but we have tested, we have proven the water, we know the things, and therefore I'm going to trust God in faith because he has proved himself to be trusted. I guess that's what I want to tell you. And so in our lives, we're changing all the time. Ought to be changing. You know, a man told me about, he gave a beautiful illustration of Christianity. Christianity is like a bicycle. As long as you're turning the pedal and going, you'll stay up. But if you stop, you either got to get off or you tip over, amen. And that's a Christian life. And I want to keep getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better. Making the Lord constantly telling the Lord, I want you Lord of my life. But I want to tell you something. It's not going to happen until I meet him face to face. That is not telling you to be discouraged. I don't want to discourage you the fact that you're not going to get perfect. But I want to encourage you to try continuing to be perfect. I want you to, Paul said, I want to put away those earthly things in our lives, things that convict us. The Spirit of God comes upon us and says, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be watching that. You shouldn't be listening to that. And you say, therefore, I'm not going to do that anymore. And that's part about growing up. You know, part about growing up. You know, you tell a kid, you have a little child sitting at the table, and you introduce to them a spoon. And they're not very mechanically inclined, you might say. And you've got stuff all over. That's why you go into the restaurant, you make sure you tip real well. Especially with 4,000 pounds of crackers on the floor and stuff ground into their carpet. And you walk away and not give them anything. That's why us old people give good tips and young people can't afford it, amen. The Bible said, beloved, and this is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, but we know that, when we shall appear, when he shall appear, We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So that is what we're looking forward to. You got that? We're looking forward to it. Just like a teenager looks so forward to his graduation. Or they look so forward to their driver's license. So they look so forward to going to college. And they look so forward to graduating from college. And then some look forward so forward to get their master's. And then some people look so forward to get their PhD. They're looking forward. And that is a normal thing in our life that we look forward to. And some of you guys are looking right now. You're looking forward to hunting this fall. You just can't wait. Amen. You've already been, hopefully you already got your tags in, you know. You got some goals. Some of you girls are looking forward to, you know, what's that day after Thanksgiving? Huh?
Black Friday.
Black Friday. Look forward to that. Don't say you don't, because you do. It's us guys that don't. We have to sit in the car and drink coffee, stay awake while you're in there going crazy and throwing things at people, amen. The Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest Christian who ever lived, spoke of the battles that he was having. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Paul the Apostle, greatest preacher, greatest missionary, he said, "Hey, I just want you to know that I know, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." In other words, he said, "I'm battling this thing all the time." Anybody got a problem with that? Yeah, we're battling with it all the time. We're constantly, as a Christian, we're battling the things of Satan, the things of this world, the worldly things. We're battling and we're trying to serve God and do everything we can, but it seems like it's a losing battle. Doesn't it? Lord, will this ever quit? No, it's not going to quit. Then he writes over verse 19, he says, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not want, that I do." He says, you know, I don't want to do that. And I find myself doing it. And the things I want to do, I don't find time to do it. Perfect example. The other day, I said, I'm getting up, I'm going to read my Bible. Because if I don't read my Bible in the morning, I cannot find time to do it. No more I said that, and all things broke loose. So when did you read your Bible? When I went to bed. And that's not a good thing. Not even a preacher. There are some things that just get away from you. And you have so many things you got to do, and the dishes, and the cleaning up, and the laundry, and the things that just and then you got to feed people, and when you get to feed them, then you got to wash them the stinking dishes again. Thank God for paper plates. I despise paper plates. On one hand, I love them. On the other, amen. In verse 23, he talks about the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. And then verse 24, he calls himself, see it? A wretched man. Wretched man. Yes, every believer should have a sincere desire, and let me tell you this, and make a sincere effort to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. But in this flesh, it's impossible. And we are not to be satisfied until we awaken his likeness. For Psalmist said, "As for me, I will behold thy faith and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." Now, let's make sure we understand there's only one gospel. That's the word good news. There's only one gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. I'm going to read this to you. I marvel that we are so soon removed from him that called us into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Get that, another. I underline that in your Bible. Which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye received, let him be accursed. Now, the word another in verse 6, notice there, verse 6, Galatians 1, and also the another in verse 7 are not the same words. They're not the same Greek words. The first word means another or different kind. The second another in verse 7, this word means another of a same kind. For example, suppose I come to your house and you set out a bunch of cookies out on your table. I like that. Amen. Amen. Raisin, oatmeal with nuts. A little bit of cinnamon. And I say, pass me another cookie. Me love cookie, yeah. My nephew used to call me the cookie monster. Amen. You could mean another one of the same kind that I've been eating. Okay? So that's what verse 7 is. Verse 7 says, just give me another one of the same kind. But verse 6 another says, it's a different kind of salvation. What the Apostle Paul was saying here is that some people were preaching another gospel that is another kind of gospel. And he reminds us that that kind is not to be used properly. Basically, in this world, there are two kinds of salvation that people preach. One, man does it. Or two, God does it. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the God does it one. I don't want the man does it one. And someone said that there are two kinds of salvation wrapped up in one word. On two words, do's and done's. Anything that you do to save yourself, or anything that another person does do to save us, or anything another group of people does to save us, that's false salvation. My church cannot give me salvation. My pastor can't give me salvation. My affiliation can't give me salvation. There's only one that can give me salvation, that's Jesus Christ. If there is anything that we can do to save ourselves or to help save ourselves, or if there is anything that another person or group or others can do to help us get saved, that's just salvation is not grace. We know, however, by the Word of God, that salvation is only through grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it is of grace, works can have nothing to do with it. And if it's only a teeny bit of work, it is not of grace. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 11, verse 6? And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. If we have to make the Lord Jesus of our life in order to be saved, then salvation is not a grace. If we must make the Lord Jesus Lord of our life, it is no more grace. Wouldn't you agree with that? And what is not grace is heresy. David was saved when Jesus was not Lord of his life. All of us know the tragic story of David and his sin. Was David saved? Yes, he was. Was Jesus Lord of his life? No, wasn't Lord of his life. Psalm 51:12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He didn't say, "Restore unto me salvation." He said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And many of us have been there. Many of us have been in an area of our life that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God and gone against the principles of God's Word. And all of a sudden, the joy is not there, is it? It's not a happy time when you're sinning as a Christian. Things just not as happy. It's just not good. But when you go to God and say, "God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation," and in God's grace, He restores that joy to us. He was saved, but he was away from God. Jesus was not Lord of his life. If Lordship salvation were true, then David lost his salvation when he ceased to make the Lord Jesus of his life. That's what I'm saying. It is heresy when people say, hey, you got to make Jesus Lord of your life. You can't do that and get saved. You can be in the process of making the Lord Lord of your life. And I'm telling you, you listen to TV, you listen to preachers all over this country, they're talking about this Lordship salvation. Yes, they are. And I just want to give you some ammunition and say, hey, you know what? That's untrue. That's a heresy. Because that's work. I want the Lord of my life. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care where you came from. I'm telling you, every one of us who have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior in our heart, we want to make the Lord of our life. Amen. Don't we? And we're continually going for it. Some are going for it more than others. Jesus was not the Lord of Lot's life. Stand by, I'm having a little bit of issue here. Jesus was not the Lord's of Lot's life. Take your Bible. Will you please look at this? It's very, very important for you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Tells about Lot. You remember who Lot was, amen? Who was Lot? Abraham's nephew. God told Abraham, get out of your country, get away from your family, but no, I've got to drag this nitwit with him, amen? Second Peter chapter 2, verse 7, and delivered, what's the next word? Just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his, what? Righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. By the way, you live in Sodom and Gomorrah today. We're living right in the midst of it. You say, Pastor, I'm telling you live in the midst of it. Therefore, if we know, if we know that just Lot, Christian Lot, born again Lot, righteous Lot, was vexed day to day by their filthy conversation, get what could happen to me? What could happen to you? Therefore, that is so important that we read this Bible every day. And we make the Lord Lord of our life and we say, Lord God, I want to get closer to you all the time. I want to put those things that are far behind me and I want to press towards the mark. I want to be continually converted. I want to be continually changed. I want to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the closer I get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the farther I get from the world. Amen? Well, was Lot saved? Verse 7 says he was just, which means he was justified in the sight of God, even though he was living in wicked sin. Verse 8, he's called the righteous man, which means that he was righteous in the sight of God, having had the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed in him. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Romans 10, 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Was Lot saved? Yes, he was. Was Jesus Christ Lord of his life? No, he wasn't. Look at the awful things that Lot did. He chose the well-watered plains towards Sodom. He not only went close to Sodom, he went into Sodom. And he was at Sodom, and he lived in Sodom. And two angels that came to visit Lot in Sodom when the homosexual men, the sodomists, heard of this. They came to Lot's house, asked him that they would let them men come out and they'd commit the sin unto those angels. And look at what Lot said in Genesis chapter 19, the most hideous verse you'll ever read. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He's talking about don't do anything to these angels. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known a man. They're virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as good as in your eyes. That's the most hideous thing you ever read. That shows you how deprived and demented and filthy a world will get when we allow this kind of craziness going on in our country. And all of a sudden, people start seeing and hearing, and then what do? They start doing. It does not surprise me what's happening in Cascade County.
Amen.
It does not surprise me what's happening in Montana, nor in the United States, nor the world. I just can't get over it. How a man can say, hey, here's two of my virgin girls. They've never known a man. You go do whatever you want to do with them. Are you out of your mind? Yes. Was he a Christian? Yes. Don't shake your head no. Yes, he was a Christian. God said he was just, and God said he was righteous. So that shows, I guess what I want to bring out this today is this, that it shows the capability of any one of us. Don't ever say never. You mark my word, you be careful with that little girl of yours. You be careful with that little boy of yours. You be careful what you're watching on TV. You be careful what you're watching on the internet. You be careful what you're hearing at work. You be careful what you're looking at. Yes, you will, because I'm telling you, you don't know what you have. Heard one old guy said, man, I never take a drink. I said, and the other guy said, why not? He said, well, my dad was a drunkard, and I don't want to turn out like him. He said, well, one won't hurt. He said, one may be the thing that tipped me over, so I'm not going to touch it. My daddy beat me, my daddy beat my mama, my daddy beat my sibling, and I'm not going to do it. He said, I don't know what I'm capable of, and you who are sitting in this auditorium today have no idea what you're capable of, and therefore you better stay awful close to this Word of God. You better stay close on your knees. Yes! Oh, by the way, look at verse 7 here of Genesis there. What do you call them? Brethren. Brethren. Brethren, I don't call somebody, you know. Verse 8, he offered his two daughters. What a wicked thing. Later, he fled Sodom with his daughters. And guess what? They become pregnant because of their dad. Sounds like America today, doesn't it? Each gave birth to a son, and each fathered a heathen race, Moabites and Ammonites. Let me ask you a question again. Was Lot saved? Yes, he was. God said he was. I wouldn't say he was, but God said he was. I better say what God says. Amen. Was Jesus Lord of his life? No, he wasn't. If Lordship salvation was true, Lot would have not been saved because Jesus was far from being the Lord of the life of his time. It's only 11:56. We have a couple more minutes here. Thought I'd tell you the time so you wouldn't have to look at your watch and be embarrassed and make sure the preacher didn't see you doing it. But anyway, Noah was saved. Noah was saved. But Jesus was not Lord of his life. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many heard that song before? Amen. All right. And Noah began to be the husbandman. This is chapter 9 now. After the flood, after God saving him and his family, after God being so kind to him, amen? Everybody else is what? Dead. Fish food, amen? Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 and 24, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent, naked. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without, and Shem and Japheth got a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces went backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. By the way, just let me pull over and park here. Hey, dads, put your clothes on. Be a good idea your mother to put your clothes on too. And make sure the daughters and the sons are clothed. So we live in a wicked world. Was Noah saved? Yes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know that salvation is by grace. Was Jesus the Lord of his life? No. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, he got drunk. 22, his son saw his nakedness. Obviously, verse 24, his younger son saw his father naked. It is not spelled out in the scriptures, but something happened. Some try to tell us that his son had a homosexual act with his father. Whatever it was bad enough for God to, for Noah to curse his son. It should not have been, my brothers and sisters. It should have not been. And the things that are happening in our country today and things that are happening in our own homes today should not happen because someone is not watching out. God put you parents there as a watchdog. You are there to watch your children. You are there to make sure that whatever's happening to them. They cannot be left alone. Nor more can I leave mine alone. Yours cannot be left alone. Something's going to get in trouble. Yes, it is. This is serious, serious business. I take this time in our church to say, listen, you better be careful. God didn't make you to trust your child. God put you there to watch your child and protect your child. Listen to me now. Don't you give me this baloney that your child needs its space. Well, they need their space. Go buy their own space. But as long as that child is in my home, I'm going to have free access to his room, free access to his phone, free access to anything I figure that he's doing something on there, because I want to make sure that I nip it in the bud before it gets farther than it could, that I can't turn it around. Psalm 101. David says, I want the tabernacle back to Jerusalem. And he says, God, these are the things I'm going to promise you that I'm going to do. I want you to look at verse 8, and I think this is so important to our families. After he promised all that, he said, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you what, America will never be cleaned up because we didn't take care of the things we should have early. He said, Pastor, are you telling me? I'm telling you, we're going to hell in a handbasket. A slippery side to hell. We're in trouble. Because we do not deal with the things that should have been done when it was happening. No, we're not going to go that way. We're not going to go to the special interest. This is where it is. This is the BIBLE. We're going to serve by that. It's justice. But the problem is, you let that thing keep running in your home and you can't stop it. And that's what David said. He said, I will utterly destroy all the wicked of the land. Amen. You let a guy come over you around, cute little girl, and you see some things, just say, I don't want you around my place. You better do that quick before she falls in love with him, because once she falls in love with him, you have no hope. Isn't that right? Amen. You can't help him. You got some handsome little boy out there, and all of a sudden the girl starts liking him. You better take care of that. Yes, you will. You say, oh, Pastor, you are the protector of your home. You're the father. You will stand before a holy God in heaven someday and explain why you didn't take care of things. He said, Pastor, what do you think you are? I'm just trying to help you a little bit. Oh, my goodness. A lot of things, if they were dealt with early, things have been taken care of. He said, but what if? Well, you're not using the right kind of stuff on them. I want my child to serve me because he loves me. But there's sometimes he has to fear me. Because Father knows best. Yes, he does. And the Heavenly Father knows best. And it'd probably be a good idea for you to drown them in Proverbs and just keep drowning them and reading the scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and scriptures and in the Word of God, in the Word of God, to help you raise those children. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, so many times we fail you. So many times we just go against the principles of the Word of God. And we do not realize the consequences that are there. This whole world tells us that there's even, you know, the great churches that are saying, he's got to be Lord of your life before you can be saved. That's untrue. Help us, Lord, to be careful of that. But Lord God, help us to be careful that everything we do and say would be that we would get closer to you, Lord. Lord, these Bible people in the Word of God, that their life were told us for a reason, that we would shun the wickedness of the devil. God, I pray you'd help us today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. And the things you talk about today really didn't mean anything to me. There's some things in there I understood, but I just need the Lord.
Amen.
I'm just not sure of it. Pastor, I need to be saved. My friend, you come to the right place. There's a God in heaven that loves you very much, and he cares for you. And he'll help you. All you have to do is just go to him and say, God, I am a sinner. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart to save me right now. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Oh, how simple, but how profound. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. You're here today, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you right now step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, and say, preacher, today, I want Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to be sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Here today, you say, preacher, I've been saved, but haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Here today, you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. You come right now.